So we go back to 1935. You haven't born yet, huh? No. 1935. You? Of course, not yet. in the mind of the Lord. July 30th, 1935. Feast of St. Ignatius. I pray fervently to these saints, reproaching him for looking on and not coming to my aid in such important matters as doing the will of God. I said to him, "You, our patron, who are inflamed with the fire of love and zeal for the greater glory of God, I humbly beg you to help me to carry out God's design." This was during the Holy Mass. Then I saw St. Ignatius at the left side of the altar with a large book in his hand. And he spoke these words to me, St. Ignatius of Loyola, the patron saint of the Jesuits. I think this congregation is affiliated to the Jesuits. That's why all the spiritual directors are something just Jesuits. "My daughter, I am not indifferent to your cause. This rule can be adapted, and it can be adapted to this congregation." And gesturing with his hand toward the big book, he disappeared. I rejoice greatly at the fact of how much the saints think of us and how closely we're united with them. So we never think that the saints are really care about us, because they're enjoying life in heaven, no? They forgot us. But no, Ignatius, I never forget about you. You know? "Oh, the goodness of God, how beautiful is the spiritual world, that already here on earth we commune with the saints. All day long I could feel the presence of this dear patron saint." I think each one of us a patron saint, no? Do you have? Do you talk to your patron saint? Do you think that he knows you? Care about you? Look after you? Do you think? But you never think about him or her. August 5th, 1935, the Feast of Our Lady of Mercy. I prepared for this feast with greater zeal than in previous years. On the morning of the feast itself, I experienced an inner struggle at the thought that I must leave this congregation, which enjoys such special protection from Mary. This struggle lasted through the meditation and through the first Mass as well. During the second Mass, I turned to our Holy Mother, telling her that it was difficult for me to separate myself from this congregation. So she was still thinking about his new inspiration, that he would start a new congregation. And even he thought already about the rules and how they live in purity, in absolute trust in the Divine Mercy, you know. It's already thinking in his mind. "Which is under your special protection, O Mary?" That's her prayer. Then I saw the Blessed Mary, unspeakably beautiful. She came down from the altar to my Lila, held me close to herself and said to me, "I am mother to you all, thanks to the unfathomable mercy of God. Most pleasing to me is that soul which faithfully carries out the will of God." So always insist doing the will of God for each one of us. Our Heavenly Mother is, she cared. She gave me to understand that I had faithfully fulfilled the will of God and had thus found favor in his eye. "Be courageous. Do not fear apparent obstacles, but fix your gaze upon the passion of my Son, and in this way you will be victorious. Look at the cross." look at his passion, you will have the grace. Many times you don't look at the cross much, you know. It's painful. So we don't want to have the cross all the time. Nocturnal adoration. I was suffering very much, and it seemed to me I would not be able to make my adoration. But I gathered up all my willpower, and although I collapsed in my cell, I paid no attention to what ailed me, for I had the passion of Christ before my eyes. When I entered the chapel, I received an inner understanding of the greater reward that God is preparing for us, not only for the good deeds, but also for our sincere desire to perform them. What a great grace of God this is, an issue of the desire, intention to fulfill the will of God in you. And that's already, heaven is joyful about it. Oh, how sweet it is to toil for God and souls. I want no respite in this battle, but I shall fight to the last breath for the glory of my King and Lord. I shall lay the sword aside until he calls me before his throne. I fear no blows, because God is my shield. It is the enemy who should free us, and not we, him. Satan defeats only the proud and the cowardly, because the humble are strong. Many times we are afraid of attacks from Satan. No? Humble means trust in the Lord. Only in him we trust. Be humble. Don't tell yourself, I'm okay, I'm strong enough, I can fight back. That's the time you are ready to fall. Understand? Don't tell yourself, I'm strong. That's why St. Paul said, when I'm strong, I am weak. And when I'm weak, I'm strong, because trust in the Lord. Nothing will confuse or refrighten a humble soul. I've directed my flight at the very center of the sun's heat, and nothing can lower its course. Love will not allow itself to be taken prisoner. It is free like a queen. Love attains God. Once after Holy Communion, I heard these words, "You are our dwelling place." At that moment, I felt in my soul the presence of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I felt that I was the temple of God. I felt I was a child of the Father. I couldn't explain all this, but the Spirit understands it well. Oh, infinite goodness, but lo, you stoop to your miserable creature. You know, all these phrases kept secret. Before her death, this is a written diary, and nobody knows, only her spiritual director. That's a key. Only after her death, it's revealed gradually, this diary. So by the time, the other sister didn't know all this, all the inspiration, because all the sisters thinking that she's already something wrong with her mind. That's why they're so peculiar, the thinking. It's just like St. Joseph, no? The Old Testament, St. Joseph. He always dreams of all the trees bowing down to the to him. So they think this, and he's the one who saved the country, at least his family, no, Joseph. If only souls would become recollected, God would speak to them at once. for dissipation drowns out the word of the Lord. Recollected. Silence. A real silence, not because no words. Heart, mind, want the Lord. And that's a real silence. In Him. With this silence, you will have this light. Otherwise, you can sit down here for 100 hours. You won't get it, nowhere. Because your mind is flying, you know, flying away. Although no words, but your heart is not here. We need to have the heart with the Lord. On one occasion, the Lord said to me, "Why are you fearful? And why do you tremble when you are united to me?" Asking us, if we say we trust in the Lord, and why you are still fearful, afraid? I'm displeased when I'm so used to vain terrors. Who will dare to touch you when you are with me? Most dear to me is the soul that strongly believes in my goodness and has complete trust in me. Divine mercy. Do you have this picture with you? Keep it in the pocket. No. Now and then, next to your bedroom, next to your bedroom, put it there. Because that's words. Jesus, I trust in you. At least the words remind us always. I heaped my confidence upon it and give it all it asks. This is a promise of Jesus. Once the Lord said to me, "My daughter, take the graces that others spoons. Take as many as you can carry." Many people doesn't like the grace of God. And Jesus said, "Take it, you. If they take it away, you throw it away, you take it." At that moment, my soul was inundated with love of God. I feel that I am united with the Lord so closely that I cannot find words to express that union. In this state, I suddenly feel that all the things God has, all the goods and treasures are mine. Although I've set little store by them. For He alone is enough for me. In Him, I see my everything. Without Him, nothing. Today the gospel. He is the gate of the pasture. He is the gate through Him, with Him, in Him. Jesus put Himself just at the gate. It comes through me. Although it's a narrow gate, but it comes. But also free. In and out, you're free. Jesus allows all the spaces in order to have our heart one with Him. No matter in or out, if we have Him, we are safe. I look for no happiness beyond my own interior, where God dwells. I rejoice that God dwells within me. Here I abide with Him unendingly. It is here that my greatest intimacy with Him exists. Here I dwell with Him in safety. Here is a place not probed by the humble or the human eye. The Blessed Virgin encourages me to commune with God in this way. So delighted, because in the chapel, in the convent, they have the chapel. They have the Blessed Sacrament so close. So all the time when you share problems, she went down from the cell, go down, lying down, head down, whole body prostrate before Blessed Sacrament, ask a special grace many times, no? When some suffering afflicts me, It no longer causes me any bitterness, nor do great consternations carry me away. I am filled with the peace and equanimity that flow from the knowledge of the truth. It's important you stay with the Lord. No matter whether joyful or painful, you are at ease. Be with the Lord. When some suffering afflicts me, it no longer costs me any bitterness, nor do great consolations carry me away. I am filled with the peace in a equanimity that flow from the knowledge of the truth. How can living surrounded by unfriendly hearts do me any harm when I enjoy all happiness within my soul? Ask a question. How can I? Because the surrounding order of atmosphere is not positive or negative towards her. They have a special look on her. Oh, how can having kind hearts around me help me when I do not have God within me? The same question. Bad people, you have good heart. Or good people, you have bad heart. When God dwells within me, who can harm me? It's important to keep Jesus in your heart. August 12th, 1935, Vilnius, 3-day retreat. On the evening of the introductory day of the retreat, as I listened to the points for the meditation, I heard these words. During this retreat, I will speak to you through the mouth of this priest to strengthen you and assure you of the truth of the words which I address to you in the depths of your soul. Although this is a retreat for all the sisters, I have you especially in mind, as I want to strengthen you and make you fearless in the midst of all the adversities which lie ahead. Therefore, listen intensely to his words and meditate upon them in the depths of your soul. God works through people. So today, the gospel, he is a door. No, the gates, he's the gates. But he got the shepherd to look after the gates, the door. All the aid comes in. That means the church. Jesus is the church, no? But he got his people, disciples, the Pope, bishops, look after the sheep for his sake. Oh, how astonished I was for everything the Father said about union with God and obstacles to this union. I experienced literally in my soul and heard from Jesus, who speaks to me in the depths of my soul. Perfection consists in this close union with God. So we are yearning for perfection, but not to be perfectionist. Perfection is for self. Perfection is love for Jesus only. During 10 o'clock meditation, the priest spoke about divine mercy and about God's goodness to us. He said that as we review the history of mankind, we can see this great goodness of God at every step. All the attributes of God, such as omnipotence and wisdom, serve to reveal to us the greatness of his attributes, namely his goodness. God's goodness is the greatest of God's attributes. Many souls striving for perfection, however, are not aware of this great goodness of God. Everything the Father said in the course of the meditation about the goodness of God, was exactly what Jesus had said to me concerning the feast of mercy. I have now come to understand clearly what the Lord has promised me. And I have no doubts about anything. God's language is clear and distinct. Through the entire meditation, I saw the Lord Jesus on the altar with a white garment, his hand holding the notebook in which I write these things. Throughout the entire meditation, Jesus kept turning the pages of the notebook and remained silent. However, my heart could not bear the fire that was enkindled in my soul. Despite the great efforts of my will to take control of myself and not let others see what was going on in my soul, toward the end of the meditation, I felt that I was completely beyond my own control. Then Jesus said to me, "You have not written everything in a notebook about my goodness towards mankind. I decide that you omit nothing. I decide that your heart be firmly grounded in total peace." Oh Jesus, my heart stops beating when I think of all you are doing for me. I'm amazed at you, that you would stoop so low to my wretched soul. What inconceivable means you have to convince me. This is the first time in my life that I have made such a retreat. I understand in the special and clear way every single word of the Father speaks for. For I have first experienced it all in my soul. And I will see that Jesus will not live in doubt any soul that loves him sincerely. Jesus wants a soul that is in close communion with him to be filled with peace despite sufferings and adversities. So peace comes to you. Don't worry about so many things, about yourself, about your people, about the things where you're working for. Don't let it be disturbed. Although you're not living in a convent, but you're living in his kingdom, God's convent. Jesus very sad. We lose our heart towards him. We worry about so many other things than he. I think, the message of Sister Faustina. You might think that, oh, of course, she lives in a convent. No distraction. She got more distraction than you. At least not all the people look at you with different eyes, critical towards you. At least some people like you. She doesn't. She doesn't have any people. She's unknown, completely unknown. Nobody understands her situation. Talking to no one, nobody understands. Now, I understand well that what unites our soul most closely to God is self-denial. Forget about yourself, first of all. You put all your problems in front of your eyes, how can you be at peace, at ease? Leave it to Jesus. And just one mind, one heart, just look at him. That is joining our will to the will of God. This is what makes the soul truly free, contributes to profound recollection of the Spirit, and make all life's burdens light and death sweet. If every second just thy will be done, thy will be done. Jesus told me that if I should have any doubts regarding the feast of the founding of the congregation or regarding anything else about which I have spoken in the depths of your soul, I will reply immediately through the mouth of this priest. During meditation on humility, an old doubt returned. That a soul as miserable as mine could not carry out tasks which the Lord was demanding of me. Just as I was analyzing these doubts, the priest who was conducting the retreat interrupted his train of thought and spoke about everything, about the very thing I was having doubts about, namely, that God usually chooses the weakest and simplest soul as tools for his greatest work. The time you say, I'm weak, I don't have enough strength, does God choose you? When you're not worthy, God chose you. It's beautiful. So don't let yourself down. Because I'm weak, I don't know how to do. Jesus chose people who don't know how to do things to do things. Because you don't know how to do it, then you ask the Lord, how can do? So you are doing the will of God. Otherwise you're so strong. I know what to do. And then you do your will. It's not his will. You think you are a good leader. Yeah. But not his way. Then we can see that this is an undeniable truth. When we look at the men he chose to be his apostles. Again, when we look at the history of the church and see what great works were done by souls that were the least capable of accomplishing them. For it is thus in this way that God's work are revealed for what they are, the works of God. When my doubts had completely disappeared, the priest resumed his conference on humility. Interesting, right? The priest speak about the theme, and then she has doubt, and the priest stopped his talk on humility, and then continued to just answering a question. Jesus was standing as he usually did during each conference on the altar and said nothing to me. But with his kind gaze, peace, my poor soul, which no longer had any excuse. Jesus, my life, how well I feel that you are transforming me into yourself and the secret sea of my soul, where the senses can no longer perceive much. O my Savior, conceal me completely in the depths of your heart and shield me with your grace against anything that is not you. I beg you, Jesus, let the two rays that have issued from your most merciful heart continuously nourish my soul these two late nights, the red and the white light. Time of confession. My confessor, Father Sopoko, asked me if at that moment Jesus was there and if I could see him. Then he answered, yes, he is here and I can see him. He then told me to ask Jesus about certain persons. Jesus did not answer me, but looked at him. The priest take advantage of her presence, no? Because Faustina see Jesus, no? So the priest asked her, and then what? Ask him, what about those people? Jesus did not answer me, but looked at him. However, after the confession, when I was reciting my penance, Jesus spoke these words to me. Go and console him on my behalf. That time Jesus didn't say anything. This is a time of confession, not for him. Not understanding the meaning of these words, I immediately repeated to him what Jesus had told me to do. So he didn't say this word. There must be some messages for Father Sopoko, but she didn't mention here. It's privacy. So the whole retreat I was in uninterrupted communion with Jesus and enter into an intimate relationship with Him with all the might of my heart. The day of the renewal of vows, at the beginning of Holy Mass, I saw Jesus in the usual way. He blessed us and then entered the tabernacle. Then I saw the Mother of God in a white garment and blue mantle, with her head uncovered. She approached me from the altar, touched me with her hands, and covered me with her mantle, saying, "Offer these vows for Poland. Pray for her." This was on August 15, the Feast of Assumption. On the evening of the same day, I felt in my soul a great yearning for God. I do not see Him at this moment with my bodily eye as I have on other occasions, but I sense His presence and yet do not grasp Him with my mind. This causes me great yearning and torment beyond words. I'm dying from the desire to possess Him, to be drowned in Him forever. My spirit pursues Him with all its might. There's nothing in the world that could comfort me. O love eternal, now I understand in what close intimacy my heart was with You. For what else can satisfy me in heaven or on earth except You, O my God, in whom my soul is drowned? So have this spirit. Keep these two nights in your heart and be humble and trust only Him. Don't worry about so many things. If it is the will of God, you can fulfill it. Don't worry. If it's not, leave in His hand. Don't be think. He wants us to be free, to be joyful all the minutes of our life. Sometimes temptations come in. Tempts you, worry about this person, about that task, about health, about this and that. And so you worry about so many things, then your mind is away from the Lord. I think Jesus on earth, He always keep working. Jesus Himself, always one with the Father, no? And the Father, nothing else but love. When He approach anybody, fully concentrate on the contact with each person. If that is the unique person on earth that He loves that moment, that's the will of God for Jesus, no? And we follow Him. We should live like Jesus. Whatever we are doing, if it's the will of God, one mind, one heart, wholeheartedly. Of course, if it's not the will of God, take that way. That's the only thing we can have peace. Okay.